Morning. Look at my burly man right here. Beast. Hitting the gym. Studly. Amazing. Good bro. So, maybe not the rope, though. You know, I'm not quite sure. Okay, I'm going to hide it right here. And you know, so Greg McEwen's our fire marshal. Hey, chaplain, make sure... No live, you know, they don't want candles. Whoa, they don't want candles. There you go. So, Greg, there you go. It's funny, you ever go out to lunch with a fire chief and you look at the hillsides in the springtime and say, isn't it beautiful? And he says, look at all that fuel up on the mountainside. It's going to be, I think it's pretty. And I see the flowers and he sees fire danger. So, okay, here one. Lynn, okay, so, dude, was that beautiful? Like, beautiful, man. Just a great job. So Lynn's kind of a cool guy. If you ever get a chance to hang out with Lynn, he does fight, like wrestling, MMA, fighting, wrestling stuff. And he's a nice guy. He smiles at you, but don't get him mad, okay? He's going to my seminary right now, Lynn is. And he just finished a class in pastoral ministries at Talbot. This morning in the hallway, he goes, hey, Pastor Frank, I just finished my last final in pastoral ministries. He says, I had no idea what you guys go through every day as a pastor in a church. I said, you entered into my world. He goes, yeah. He says, I'm in class. He goes, all my colleagues, we're all from all these different churches. You know, church is like 31 flavors. It's all ice cream, but there's different flavors in churches, you know. And he says, with my colleagues, he says, they all talk about how messed up their churches are. And he says, you know, our church isn't very messed up. And I said, yeah, right? He goes, yeah. I go, dude, it's church health. Man, is it a healthy church? It's like there's no perfect marriage, but is it a healthy marriage, right? There's no perfect family, but is the family healthy? There's no perfect church, but is the church healthy? I mean, and how do you even define what that is? Do they love God and do they love one another, you know? And is the leadership, are they godly people? Are they real? Are they authentic? Do they love God? Are they fakers, you know, type thing? So it's kind of cool. I got my paycheck today from Lynn. He says, hey, Pastor Frank, you know, our church isn't that messed up. I said, yeah, right? It's a great church. Welcome. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for praying for me. It's been a tough 3 weeks. I've been really sick. Last Sunday, I got a chance to preach, and I was done, man. I went, right after the service, I went and fell asleep in my office. I didn't have it in me, but this week, a little bit better, and God is good, and I took 2 COVID tests. They both came back negative, but I don't know, man. I don't know what I had, but I haven't been that sick in my life. 9 days of a fever. Brutal. But I'm here. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hey, do me a favor, stand with me this morning because we're going to read from the scriptures, man. Do you realize that what we're about to read right now is ancient scripture that's been around for 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus, right around that time, man. And here we are 2,000 years later assembling with freedom to read. There's countries you can't even do what we're about to do. We're in hiding. We'd be thrown in jail. And yet we can assemble here in America and we can read the ancient scriptures. I want to read from Luke chapter 1, Merry Christmas, right? 26 through 38. It says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, just as we read, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, can you imagine? How will this be? Mary asked the angel, I'm a virgin. How will this be? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One will be to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. Do y'all know that? No word from God will ever fail. All God's promises that He said to you will come to pass. That's awesome. The Word of God will never fail. Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. Right? Make it so. And the angel leaves. Father, we thank you for this morning. We praise you for this day. Lord, we're thankful for this life that you let us live today. God, we get to breathe and exist and move and live. And we have so many things to be thankful for, God. Lord, we lift up those in Kentucky that have been devastated by tornadoes. We pray for those in our country that are just dealing with really bad things, Lord. And we just pray for them, pray your presence upon them, God, and pray for your mercy and grace. Lord, we pray that you just be with us this morning, God. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak into our lives and just calm us down and help us to breathe and find hope and joy this Christmas season in the crazy world that we live in. Lord, we honor you and love you and praise you and thank you for everything. Pray this in the name of Jesus. And do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good to be with you. Good to see you. So this morning, Pastor Frank, sociologists, you know what they are? They study society. If you've had the opportunity to read, different sociologists are going crazy about what's going on in America. I just read an article from one sociologist that says that 3 out of 5 Americans are more exhausted than ever right now. 3 out of 5 Americans are more exhausted right now than ever. And when you read sociologists, they give reasons, the pandemic, politics, the economic, social unrest, and on 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 it goes. Emotional exhaustion, mental exhaustion, I'd say spiritual exhaustion, exhaustion of politics. People are just exhausted. If you listen to the world, if you listen to the voices of the world, you're going to be bummed. If there's ever a time for you and I to turn off the world, and I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on, but don't dwell on it. If there's ever a time, my brother and my sister, and I say that as your brother in Christ, if there's ever a time for us to turn down the volume of the world and turn up the volume of Almighty God, if there's ever a time for us to open the pages of Scripture and to read and to see and let God speak into our lives, it's now. Because when that happens, it's like drinking from living water, right? Our souls just rejoice as we drink in the Word of the living God and what God would have to say to us. And man, when you read the Scriptures, you're going to read about Christmas, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The message of Christmas. If there's ever a time for you or for me to really meditate and think once again on the message of Christmas, isn't it now, right? To just ponder of what Christmas means and what's God's message to the world. It's now. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let the earth receive her King, right? That was last Sunday. You know, it's if there's ever a time that you need to sing Christmas songs, it's now. Do I hear an amen? I mean, if there's ever a time when you need to come tonight to the Christmas Eve service, it's going to be great. Just like a 1-hour service. We're going to light up the Christmas tree and we're going to sing Christmas songs. We're going to have hot chocolate and Santa Claus is coming. And he loves Jesus, by the way, old Saint Nick. He loves the Lord. If there's ever a time for us to turn off the world and just get into this season, it's now, man. I mean, if you're looking for a movie, there's a great movie in the theaters right now called Christmas with the Chosen. Sin and I went and saw it. It's a Christmas experience. The first hour is just singing of Christmas songs by some of today's Christian artists. And they start talking about the different names of God. It's really it's edifying. And then the second half, it just talks about, it shows actually a clip of The Chosen of Mary and Joseph heading up to Bethlehem and what it must have been like for these two human beings trying to wrap their brain about what's going on in their lives. And it's really cool. I would encourage you to see it. If there's a time for you to get into the Christmas season, it's now. And I just want to encourage you, turn down the volume of the world, this worldly chatter, and listen to God and what God has to say about Christmas. Do you think 2,000 years ago, 3 out of 5 Jews living in Judea were exhausted beyond belief? Probably, right? I mean, they were living under oppression. They were living under a military boot of Rome. The economy was a mess. Taxation beyond belief. And yet, God enters into the world and he enters into people's lives back then. And you know, when you read the Christmas story, and I hope that you are, you can't help but when you look at like a Mary or a Joseph, you can't help but be encouraged by their lives. How they dealt with the first Christmas. This morning, I want to take a peek at Mary. And if you've seen the movie in the theater, I mean, it just makes you think, what was it like for Mary this first Christmas? I mean, who is she and what was she like? If you could interview her, what would she say? Man, if you study Mary for any length of time, you can't help but be impressed with this young lady. A maiden, maybe 14, 15, 16 years of age. A woman of faith, a woman of courage. If you read her life, you can't help but be encouraged, even in tough days. If you want to study Christmas, it's kind of cool. In the four Gospels of Jesus, two of them talk about Christmas. In Luke's Gospel, it gives Mary's perspective. And when you read Matthew's Gospel, it comes from Joseph's perspective. And this morning, we're going to hang out at Mary's perspective. Next week, we'll talk about Joseph. But, man, read ahead. Luke's Gospel's awesome. It's all about Christmas from Mary's side of the story. And it's so great. It just tells her thoughts, her feelings, how it happened to her. And then the flip side, Joseph, who is a hero at Christmas as well. So this morning, I just want you to meet Mary and just kind of enter into her world a little bit. So let's have some fun with this, okay? Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel's busy. If you read Luke 1, there's an angel named Gabriel, and the guy's radically busy. He's the delivery guy for God and telling unsuspecting mothers the news that babies are on the way, okay? He shows up at the temple to tell the priest Zechariah that his elderly wife Elizabeth will conceive and give birth to a son, and Gabriel is very specific on the names of these kids, and he tells him, you are to name him John, and in that encounter with Zechariah, it doesn't go too well. We'll talk about that in a minute, but then he shows up to Mary and tells her that she will conceive and give birth to a son as well, and very specific, this one's name is going to be Jesus, and it's kind of fun, when you read Luke 1, you see this contrast between these two babies coming into the world and one coming into the world, John, through a lady who's been married, who is way beyond her childbearing years, maybe 70s or 80s, we don't know, and she's going to have a kid. And then you've got some young lady from Nazareth who isn't even married yet, who's a virgin. And they're both getting kids. I mean, is that like compare and contrast? Totally different spectrum. Why does God do this? The answer is, exactly. I don't know. He just does. God does what he does, and I love it. You got to trust him, right? So Mary, here it says, in the sixth month, right? So here it is, Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so Elizabeth's already pregnant 6 months, God sends the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married. People, she's engaged. She's not married yet. She's engaged, okay? To a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, very important. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. Man, the Lord is with you. Welcome to that one, right? It's like congratulations. It's like the angel shows up and says, congratulations. I mean, I don't know, like you won the lottery or, I mean, you win. Mary, you win. It's you. of all the women in Israel at this time, you are God's chosen instrument. You are the highly favored. She's the special recipient of God's grace and sovereign choice. I mean, God picks you. I mean, that's the angel just says, congratulations, right? Mary was greatly troubled. No kidding. That is words. And wonder what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel, as always, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. FYI, if you meet an angel, you're going to be troubled too, okay? And everybody's afraid. And if they tell you don't be afraid, you should be, okay? When they say don't be afraid, be, okay, whew, thank you, right? And I love how Gabriel calms her down. He tells her, hey, don't be afraid, right? You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's awesome. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Amen. And Mary says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. Which is a totally different response to Gabriel's news during the last person he gave this message to, okay? Mary just says, how will this be? Which is a totally different response. When you read Luke chapter 1, I mean, that's like 38, right? Or 34. If you go back in the first chapter of Luke, there's this priest named Zechariah. And he is, his wife is also from, she's a priestess, Elizabeth. They're elderly. He is actually at the temple in Jerusalem, and by picking of lots, he is to go into the temple, into the holy place, and he gets to burn incense. And while he enters into the holy place, this priest of God, people are outside praying for him. And he goes in and he begins lighting the incense, the holy prayers, and Gabriel just shows up. Inside, startles him. And he says, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard, you and your wife Elizabeth, and you guys are going to have a baby. And this baby is a special baby. This baby is a baby that will have the spirit of Elijah in him. This baby is going to be bringing the hearts of God's people back to God. This baby prepares the way of the Lord, right? And Zechariah, and by the way, he tells him, don't be afraid and all that. Okay. And Zechariah says, Luke 1:18 through 20, what should he have said? Praise the Lord. That's what he should have said. Zechariah asks the angel, how can I be sure of this? Bad move. I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. Translation? Yeah. How do I know your information's trustworthy? Okay. Or how do I know you're not lying to me? Okay. The angel said to him, and I think this is awesome, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you called me a liar. You didn't believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. He's muted. You ever mute your phone? He's muted. Are you calling me a liar, priest? What, are you asking for a sign from God? How about you not talking for 9 months? Would that work? You want some proof that I'm telling you is true? You calling me a liar, priest? Okay. How about you're done talking for 9 months? Okay? There's your sign, kid. FYI, when you get to heaven, do not question the character or integrity of Gabriel the angel. Because he takes offense to it, FYI. Okay? I mean, this is a really cool text on just the study of angels. I mean, the angels have a sense of personal identity. They all have names. And man, when he says, I stand in the presence of God, he realizes a position. I mean, when you get to heaven and you see Gabriel, don't insult him. He didn't like it. Don't declare, don't say that, don't question his character, his integrity, because he takes it personal. FYI, I just thought I'd share that with you from the scriptures, right? So, Zachariah, he questions, not Mary. Mary doesn't say, how do I know what you're telling me? All she says is, how will this be? She doesn't ask for a sign. She doesn't ask for proof. Mary just says, wow. And then she says, how? Right? Luke 1:34 through 3. How will this be? Mary asked the angels. I'm a virgin. The angel answered, well, I'll tell you how. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, FYI, even Elizabeth, I'm going to give you a sign even though you asked for one. Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. Amen to that. I mean, she says, well, how will this be? She says, okay, it'll be from a miracle. You're going to have a baby without human relations. You're going to have virgin. By the way, that's from the book of Genesis. God said, in the moment when mankind falls, God says, from the seed of woman, one will come to destroy Satan. It's the seed of woman, no man, right? We read in the prophecies that when Messiah comes in Isaiah, a virgin will give birth, and here's Mary. And it's the miracle. It's a sign. It's beautiful. I mean, come on, guys. What do you think of Mary so far? Isn't she awesome? I mean, honestly, if you want to take notes this morning, if you want to just meet Mary, you need, here's note number one. Mary is a woman of incredible faith and courage from youngest of ages. Meet her. I mean, the mother of Jesus was an incredible woman of faith. And I say courage. I mean, people, her faith is more amazing than a priest at the temple in Jerusalem, Zechariah. I mean, and she has courage. I mean, I love how she deals with the angel. She seems calm. I mean, I'm sure she kept her composure. And she's willing to step out in faith. God bless the faith of a young person. So, is it possible that sometimes we get so old in our faith we stop believing that God can do amazing things? There's so much to unpack between just Mary and the priest Zechariah. It's so cool. I mean, and think about it. When I say courage, the consequences of Mary saying yes to this from a human standpoint are off the charts, right? I mean, she's engaged. She becomes pregnant. What will her parents say and do? What will her in-laws say and do? What will her village say and do? What will her husband say and do? I mean, there's problems all the way through with her saying yes to this, and yet she doesn't flinch. She's awesome. She's an amazing lady of faith, courage. And she inspires me. I pray she inspires you. Okay, next morning, you're Mary. Next morning, you wake up. What's going through your mind? Did that really happen? Did I eat something bad last night? Was that a dream? Am I crazy? I mean, she wakes up the next day and she's like, what do I do? Do I go tell Joseph? Maybe not. And it dawns on her. The angel said, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, probably her aunt, and she lives in Judea, right? And Mary wakes up the next day and she goes, I got to go. I need to go, right? I need to go. I need to go see Elizabeth. Luke 1:39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried. No kidding. She hurried, people. I mean, is this a dream? Is it not? She hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Man, you go to Israel. Nazareth in Galilee, Judea. No lady's just doing this on her own. She's not grabbing an Uber. She's in a caravan. It took time. She had to convince her parents, I need to go. Okay. She caravans up there. I'm going to go. But she's on her way. She has got to see, is this real? That's what I would have done. You too, right? At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. She finally gets there. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't miss this. She says in a loud voice, she started speaking loudly. Blessed are you among women. Imagine Mary walking in. Hey, you guys haven't seen me in maybe 3-4 years. Walks in the door. There's a bump on Elizabeth. Elizabeth all of a sudden starts prophesying in a loud voice. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. How did she know? But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my mother's womb, or the baby in my womb, leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her, right? Okay, come on. You're Mary. You just got off the caravan. You come into your family's home. You walk in the door. Hi, everybody. And all of a sudden she hears this. What do you think? What look is on her face? Shock? Awe? Wonder? Excitement? Joy? Amazement? I mean, she's hearing this and she's like, oh, this is amazing. You're pregnant. Oh, and she's reading my mail. That's God. Come on, people. Mary is just, this is true. She's encouraged. And Elizabeth is prophesying over her. This had to be so awesome for Mary. What an encouragement for her. And I want you to notice what she says. And she, in Luke 1, it's famous. And Mary says, 46 through 56, my soul. It's like she just busts loose. My soul glorifies God. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Is that true? Look what we're doing this morning. 2,000 years later, totally true. She's like, this is happening to me. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He's brought down the rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Okay, so Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, and how long does Mary stay? What does that mean? She's there to see the baby be born, right? Do you guys know that Mary went to Awana? Awana is a program we have here on Sunday nights where kids get to study the scriptures at an early age. Mary went to Awana as a little girl. There are 12 different citations of the Old Testament in these 10 verses alone. Mary quotes 12 different citations of the Old Testament in these 10 verses alone. What does that tell you about Mary? Note number two, you want to know Mary? Mary knew her scriptures very, 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 very well at an early age. She was a woman of faith. She's a woman of courage, man. She was a woman who knew her scriptures very well, which is probably the root or the foundation of her faith and her courage. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Mary knew the word of God. And man, she could quote it. It's beautiful. She's awesome. So she stays there. Okay, so think with me. Time just to speculate. 3 months, Mary's staying with Elizabeth. Mary's staying at Zachariah's house. 3 months, what do you think they talked about for 3 months? Angels? What do you think they talked about? Babies? What's it going to be like raising a baby? What's it going to be like being a mom, having a mom, being a mom with babies, right? I wonder if they sat there and said, what's God's plan for our kids? This is incredible, right? I'm sure the topic came up in 3 months. I'm sure the topic came up in 3 months. Hey, Anne Elizabeth, what's up with Uncle Zach? Why doesn't he talk? That had to come up, right, people? That had to come up. And I could see Zach writing on a maybe board, right, in Hebrew. I questioned the angel Gabriel, and I'm mute. And Mary thought, bummer. Dude, that was a bad idea. She could have said, I didn't do that. And you're a priest? She probably said nothing, but she could have said a lot, right? She stays for 3 months there. And it's so fun to even think, what did they talk about? They had to talk about a lot of cool stuff. So John's born. And the whole time Mary's there, guess what? When the baby's born, I got to go back to Nazareth, and she's 3 months pregnant, people. And it's time for me to go home, right? Is she showing after 3 months? Answer? Yeah. Scandal. Scandal, am I right? Is anyone from a small town like me? So I was born and raised in Big Bear. Anyone want to go up in the snow? I believe it snowed up there. I grew up in a town called Big Bear. It's 7,000 feet up in the San Bernardino Mountains. I grew up skiing as a kid. Every winter for PE, they would bus us up to the ski slopes, and we skied every day. Our parents didn't pick us up at school. They picked us up at the ski slopes. Small town, 7,000 people. Hey, when a scandal happens in a small town, guess what? Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows about it. Anyone from a small town like me? She's going home and she can see the writing on the wall. There's no secrets in small towns. And Mary's coming back 3 months pregnant. What was she thinking? I mean, she's probably going, this is incredible. I am going to be the mother of the Messiah. This is amazing. Virgin birth. What's God going to do? And then she's all, what am I going to tell Joseph next week? What is my parents going to say? What's my in-laws going to say? What's the town going to say? And the whole time, I'm sure she's praying, God, you got to help me with the scandal. God, you got to help me with the scandal. Right? God, you got to help me with the scandal. You got to help me with this one. You got to help me handle the scandal. God, you got to help me handle the scandal. Because here it comes. All the way back. Does God help her handle the scandal? Does he? Well, God sends Gabriel to Joseph. Everything's happened just like Mary said. That helped, yes? Do you know God sends a decree from Caesar Augustus, the emperor in Rome. There was a big war that happened right before all this, and the Roman Empire warred on itself. And when you read the annals of Roman antiquity, Caesar Augustus wanted to see how many people was in his kingdom. And he ordered everybody to go home to the ancestral home to register for a census. He wanted to know how many people. And because of that, though Joseph is from Nazareth, he's from David. And right at the perfect time, God sends Mary and Joseph out of Nazareth to Bethlehem. Time to leave the small town scandal. Do you think they were bummed? I think they were like, great, let's get out of here, right? Did God help Mary handle the scandal? He did. He totally did. He totally did. Mary's an amazing young lady of faith. She's an amazing lady of courage. She's an amazing lady who knew her scriptures so well. You know what? If there's ever a defining verse in the Bible that describes Mary, it has to be verse 38. And I love this. I've been meditating this on this one. When the angel Gabriel tells her all this, her response is this: I am the Lord's servant. This is what's going to happen. And Mary hears it and she says, He's the Lord. I'm his servant. Let it be done. That's awesome. She calls him the Lord God, the Lord God Almighty. People, Jesus is not a coach. He's not a consultant. Christianity is not like a gym membership. We go when it's convenient. People, Jesus is the King. He's the Lord. We are His servants. He's God. Mary understands this from a very early age. If God steps into our lives, and in a sense He says, I want to step into your life and mess up your plans a little bit, she says, so be it. Why? Because you're God. You're the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. That's wisdom, people. You want to learn from Mary? If Mary could speak to us today, she would tell us this. You want to write, take notes? Note number 3, wisdom from Mary. We should obey God because He's the Lord, period. We should obey God because He's the Lord, period. Even if it doesn't make a lot of sense, you follow Him, period. And let me say this, following Jesus is not a feeling, it's a decision. Following Jesus is not a feeling, it's a decision, it's a choice, it's a choice. It's not an emotion. I just don't feel like I'm ready. I just don't feel like I want to pray. I don't feel like I want to read the Bible. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel. People, following Jesus is not a feeling, it's a decision. Following Jesus is not a feeling, it's a decision. That's Mary's deal. I'm in. You're God. You're the Lord. I'm in. Could you imagine her going, man, you know, this really doesn't work for me. Could you imagine that? I hear what you're saying, but you know, I don't think my husband's going to buy this. And I'm getting married. I'm reading bride's books. I'm planning out my wedding. I've got wedding dresses. I mean, could you hear Mary go, you know, Gabriel, it doesn't really work for me. You know, yeah. Could you imagine? I'm thinking of names of babies. I'm liking Jude or I'm liking James. Really, Jesus doesn't work for me. Could you imagine? None of it. She hears this. He's the Lord. I'm His servant. So be it. That's beautiful. Do I hear an amen? He's the Lord. Following Jesus is not a feeling. It's a decision. You do it because he's God. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm not. Note number four. Pleasing or obeying God often means disappointing people. Have you noticed that? Mary would tell you this. If she could sit up here today, she'd say, okay, you guys are going to follow the Lord. I want to let you know, if you choose to follow God, there's going to be times when you choose to obey God or please God, you're going to disappoint people in doing it. Mary's going to say, I'm the expert at this. I disappointed a lot of people when I said yes. But he's the Lord. And you have to be, if people, if you're going to obey God, if your goal is to please God, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to disappoint people, and you need to be okay with that. Are you? Are you? To try to be a people pleaser your whole life, you're going to have a miserable life, FYI. If your goal is to please people, you're going to have a miserable life. Pastor Frank, in my early 20s, when I finally, there was a day when I went, this is true. I tried to disprove this thing. I came kicking and screaming into faith. It's real. Jesus is, it's true. Prophecy is, I can't get past it. I remember one day going, this is real. What am I going to do about it? I'm like, I could blow off God or I could follow him. I remember Jesus says, there's a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. Choose what path you're going to follow. You're going to follow God or not? Choose. Mary just says, I'm in. You're God. What am I supposed to do? The moment I began following Christ, I knew immediately I was going to disappoint people. And I've disappointed people ever since for 30-some years. As a pastor, as a Christian, there have been people that's been upset with me as I've been following the Lord. People in my family at times have been upset with me. I had a family member tell me that I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. Anybody get any of those? What am I going to do? You count the cost. You have to be okay with it. Hey, okay, this is how you don't receive criticism. Ready? Believe nothing. Do nothing. Stand for nothing. And you won't be criticized. By the way, your life will mean nothing. But if you believe something and you stand for something and you hold fast to something, you're going to be criticized. And you've got to be okay with that. Because, see, in the end, all that matters is God and people in that order. Do I hear an amen? What it's all, dude, you want to know what matters is God and people. That's the order. This is all that matters. You follow God and you love God's people. This is life. And if you can't do that, so be it. Mary's new. If Mary could tell us today, she would say, you follow the Lord God because he's God. And she would say, FYI, you want to follow God, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to disappoint people, and you just should be okay with that because that's the way it is. Mary disappointed a lot of people in following the Lord. You know, scandal followed her whole life. All life. I mean, praise the Lord, they go up to Bethlehem, Jesus is born, and then they go from Bethlehem back to Nazareth, yes or no? No. They go where? Egypt. Because Satan's out to kill the baby. So they're in Egypt for how long? We don't know. Finally, they're like, the angel says, you can come back. Cool. And they go back and Herod the Great's dead, but Archelaus is his nut son. And the guy's a sicko. Sadistic beyond belief. And Joseph's like, we're not going back to Bethlehem. We're going back to Nazareth. All of a sudden, can you imagine Mary and Joseph showing up in Nazareth, what, 5 years later? There's little Jesus, right? And everybody goes, there's the kid. There he is. Scandal followed her whole life. Do you know that when you read in John chapter 10, the Pharisees tried to dig up as much as they could on Jesus. And do you know that they called him a bastard? They said, well, our father, we know who your father is. You know, the scandal followed Mary her whole life and the whole family. And she would tell you, people, if you're going to follow God, there are going to be times people are disappointed with you for following God, and y'all need to be okay with that. And if you're not, you'll never follow the Lord. It's God first, people second. Let the chips fall where they may. Mary would tell you that today. She's amazing. She's awesome. She's incredible. Do you like her yet? Yeah. The mother of Jesus is an amazing young lady. You read in the pages of Scripture, you just go, oh, she's incredible. She's a woman of faith. How's your faith? She's a woman of faith. How's your faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How's your faith? She was a woman of courage. How's your courage? How's your courage? Remember? Have I not commanded you, Joshua? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Why? Do not be discouraged or afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with you wherever you go. Mary was a woman of faith. She was a woman of courage. How's your courage? She was a woman who knew her Scriptures. How are you? You learning your Scriptures? Do you know your Scriptures? People study. There's nothing but blessings that comes. The Bible says that the person that studies this is like a tree planted by the streams of water that grows its fruits in its seasons. Mary's fruit grew in her seasons. She is a woman that knew the Scriptures. She was a woman that the Lord is the Lord and she's willing to follow Him no matter what the cost. How about you? Are you a person? God, I'm in. What do you want me to do? Man, so often I get criticism. Yeah, I can get a little criticism every now and then. I pray, I seek counsel, I read the Scriptures. God, and you just do. Let the chips fall. And you stand before the Lord one day and give an account of your life. Are you looking forward to that day? Because we're all going to do that. See, people, Mary followed God even when it wasn't convenient. She followed God because following God isn't a feeling, it's a decision. It's a choice. She followed God because she chose to. Love God and love people. There's no greater commandment than this, says Jesus. The most important thing on the world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other greater commandment than this. Jesus would say, this is how my people will know that you're followers of me, by the way you love people. All people will know you're my disciples by how you love one another. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Fruits of the Spirit, as Jesus invades your life and you walk with Him, He transforms how you think and feel. It's so cool, man. Man, Mary's awesome. I don't know if you're one out of the 3 out of 5 in America that's just totally exhausted with life. You're just mentally wiped out. You don't want to listen or do. I mean, you probably want to crawl underneath your bed in a fetal position, start sucking your thumb. A lot of people are doing that. They just can't. People, turn off the world and the voices of the world and start listening to Christmas. You open the pages of Scripture, it's going to walk you right into Christmas. And all that this season is, and all that this season means, the message of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Man, you open the pages of the Bible and you begin reading them. Jesus is the reason for the season, yes? Did you know that Jesus is the reason for every season? He's the Lord. You focus on Him. You guys, if there's ever time for you and me to draw near to the Lord, it's now. People need your joy and your love. People need to see the hope that we believers in Jesus have, not depending on what's going on in circumstances in the world. Man, a kindness, a smile, loving people. Man, just opening a door, saying Merry Christmas to somebody. Man, speaking of hope that you have in the world that doesn't seem to have much hope. The world needs you. The world needs Christmas right now more than ever. Am I right? Do you need Christmas? Man, you need to sing Christmas songs. You need to study again the meaning of Christmas and all that this means. You need to open your mouth and tell people about the hope that this season brings. There's not much hope. Well, actually there is. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know, God is still here. God is with us. Really? Yes. I just don't believe. Well, look at the joy. God, He's here. People need you. The world needs you like never before. If not you, then who, people? If not you, then who? Jesus says, go be my messengers. Yes? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. What child is this? I like this song. Here's Pastor Frank's Christmas song. You know, one of my favorites. We're going to sing. Tonight's going to be awesome, man. We're going to sing some Christmas songs. We're going to light the Christmas tree. We're going to read the Christmas story. We're going to get to hear how people in different cultures celebrate Christmas from around the world. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a Christmas party afterwards. It's time to laugh. Man, I just encourage you all to come. You need this. I need this. We're going to sing a lot of Christmas songs. Do you want to know what one of my favorite is? What child is this? I think we should sing that right now, don't you? Hey, listen to Mary. She's an amazing lady. You want to be encouraged? Listen to Mary. You need some faith? Check out Mary. You looking for a woman with some backbone? Check out Mary. You need someone to just speak into your life? I so encourage you, open the pages of Scripture. Check out Mary. What an amazing young lady. The mother of Jesus is awesome. And she gave birth to an amazing baby. What child is this? Can we stand? Let's sing this song. What child is this?